20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. And of course, you can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am overjoyed that you are here today because we have a huge topic of discussion because your Green Bay Packers have a new defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, former Arizona Cardinals head coach, former Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator, is your new Packers defensive coordinator. And he is going to take over for Jeff Hafley, who of course went to Miami to become their new head coach. Not official yet per the team, nothing released as of yet, as of recording this at least. I would assume that will happen in the very near future, but every report is that Jonathan Gannon will be the head coach. Huge shout out to Ross Uglum for going live as soon as he could immediately following the news on Sunday. I was able to do a live show a little bit later, had a soccer game and a couple basketball games to attend for my son prior to getting to that live show, but had a great time chatting with you guys and kind of going over some of my thoughts on Jonathan Gannon. I'm going to talk about a couple of those things today that we talked about yesterday, but we're going to take a much deeper dive into it today as well. So buckle in and get ready for a lot of information on Jonathan Gannon, as you would come to expect from us here at the Pack-A-Day Podcast, of course. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Jeremy Brown, Daryl Abelscroft, Sean Radcliffe, Brad Otto, Chad Mosh, and Bryn Tails. Thank you guys so much for signing up. And a huge shout out to Zilch Zilcherson for becoming a brand new All-Pro member as well. You guys are awesome. Really appreciate all the support. It means the world. So cannot thank you guys enough for that. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, make sure to do so over on YouTube. Look at those members options. There's four different options out there for you. Rookie, Pro, All-Pro, and Hall of Fame with a variety of different perks. So check those out when you get an opportunity. Meanwhile, championship game Sunday. Patriots defeat the Broncos, had some weather, had some snow. A little bit surprising to me how much talk there was of not liking snow games, not liking weather games. All games should be in a dome. There was also some talk, some ridiculous talk of, I don't like the fact that teams go into Seattle and have to deal with the crowd noise. It's not fair. It's a disadvantage. Yeah, of course it's a disadvantage. Here's what I will say about snow, outdoors, crowd noise. We look at this as putting together the right team to, you know, play your brand of football that you want to play, whether you're a pass happy offense or run offense or a blitzing defense or a, you know, bend but don't break defense or anything in between. The beauty of football, the beauty of the National Football League is you are going to have to survive so much through the course of the year. You're going to have to survive 17 regular season games, probably 2 to 3 playoff games in a Super Bowl if you want to win it all. You're going to endure harsh travel, potentially internationally, you know, flying back and forth, wear and tear, injuries. You're going to have harsh weather. You're going to have crowd noise. You're going to play teams that are, you know, their strengths are, you know, basically taking advantage of your weaknesses, and you've got to find a way to mitigate that. You are going to be challenged in every human way imaginable. Whether it's wind, whether it's snow, whether it's ice, whether it's cold, whether it's sun, whether it's heat, whether it's humidity, whether it's altitude, you are going to experience all of it. Jet lag might be another one. And I love that. I love that. You don't know what your matchups are going to be. It is really, truly the ultimate test of which team was able to weather everything, including the weather. You had to figure out a way to navigate all of those challenges throughout the course of the season, regardless of what teams you were playing against, what conditions you were playing in, what travel you had to do to get to that location, whether you had home field, whether you were away. Everyone has their own unique journey that they have to traverse to sort of get to that point, and you're going to be tested every step of the way. And sometimes we might look at the end, New York Giants, right? Beating the New England Patriots when the Patriots were undefeated. Do I think the Giants were the best team that year? No. The undefeated Patriots that happened to lose a little bit of a fluky game to the Giants at the end were very clearly the best team of that season. But the Giants were the Super Bowl champions. And the stuff that the Giants had to weather to get to that point and ultimately beat the Patriots in that game, it's pretty remarkable. And it made them into Super Bowl champions. And that's what I love about this sport. So now I don't want to hear anything about weather games, about snow, about wind, about crowd noise. I don't want to hear any of it. Those are all challenges that you're going to have to endure. And it's not just offensive football. You might get into one of those games where you better have an offensive line that can move people. You better have a defensive line that can stop the run on the other side. Because if you get into a situation, whether it be a rain or wind or snow, where you can't pass the ball, you better be able to run and be physical. And if you can't, you're probably dead on arrival to that game. So you better build a pretty darn good, well-rounded team that can handle any situation. And kudos to New England and kudos for Seattle for being those two teams and advancing to a Super Bowl, which I think has the ability to be a very, very fun Super Bowl and one that I'm certainly looking forward to. No horse in the race, not a Seahawks guy, not really a Patriots guy, but I can respect the hell out of these two teams and how they've built the teams, how they've gotten to this point, the Sam Darnold, you know, story. By the way, how brutal does it have to be in the NFC North as Detroit watches Matthew Stafford for the Rams, you know, unbelievable in this game. And Minnesota watches Sam Darnold now get to a Super Bowl and play really well as well. That has to be tough for two NFC North opponents. But Green Bay Packers have some connections as well. First of all, feel for Devontae, fifth NFC championship game and zero Super Bowls to show for it. That is brutal. But Elliott Wolf in New England, John Schneider in Seattle, two people that, you know, live the Ron Wolf way and have that Packers sort of hierarchy and experience. They're now going to the Super Bowl. Now, John Schneider, a huge architect in Seattle, no question. Elliott Wolf, the reins have been handed over a little bit more as of late, at least as of this year, you know, to Mike Vrabel. So but that's not to take away anything from Elliott in any way, shape, or form. Just saying it's maybe a little bit different there, but still kudos to Elliott Wolf and John Schneider for what they've done, you know, going from Green Bay to their respective new locations and having a ton of success and now facing off in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. By the way, welcome to hell. We have a week without NFL football. That sucks. I don't like it. And we only have one game left until September. I hate it. I hate all of it. But the offseason is going to be a ton of fun. And of course, we'll have you covered here as well. One other thing from Championship Sunday that I just wanted to discuss really quick. When immediately I hear everyone already talk about the three biggest things that Green Bay needs to correct this offseason. Spoiler, I've been guilty of it as well. Offensive line, interior defensive line, cornerback. Those are the big three. What we learned again from an NFC championship and an AFC championship game, both, but specifically the NFC championship game, is special teams matters a ton. And it was an Achilles heel for the Rams all season, and it reared its ugly head in this game again. Special teams is a real legitimate factor in reaching a Super Bowl. And if you have one of the worst special teams, it's going to make it increasingly difficult to get there. Green Bay did not make it past their first round playoff game in large part due to their special teams. Brandon McManus missed his kicks. If he makes his kicks, they're moving on. It's as simple as that. So yes, corner, offensive line, interior defensive line, all of those things need some, you know, some fixing up, a little bit of a makeover. Special teams does too. And Green Bay, I know it feels cursed. I know it feels like the organization doesn't care about it. For the billionth time, it is time to start caring and it is time to start getting this fixed. And whether you're bringing Rich Bisaccia back or not, and I'll be clear again, I would not. I would go in a different direction. Saw a comment the other day saying, how are you defending Rich? I'm not. I'm telling you, I think Green Bay might keep him. I'm saying I would not keep him. I would go in a different direction. Those are two different things. But who's ever in that role, I don't care. And just get the job done. The special teams has to be better. If it's not, it could easily be something that continues to hold Green Bay back. Then last but not least, before we get to more Jonathan Gannon, Adam Stenovich is interviewing with the Tennessee Titans for their offensive coordinator job, where he would be in charge of calling plays. It sounds like he does have some competition there for sure. Cliff Kingsbury expected to interview as well, but Adam Stenovich does get an interview and that could open up a potential offensive coordinator role in Green Bay. I know a lot of people are cheering for that. I'm mostly indifferent. Don't know if Steno is great. Don't know if he's terrible or anything in between, but I'll just tell you, I think if Steno leaves, you're probably looking at Luke Getsy or Nathaniel Hackett to be that offensive coordinator. I'm not sure you're getting the change that you're maybe looking for. Mike McDaniel's already hired. It's probably a lot of the same old situation, right? So I don't think anything changes that much. And if my choice is Steno or Hackett or Getsy, I'd probably just keep Steno in that role, to be honest. But to each their own. If you feel different, that is totally fine as well. And maybe Steno will get that job in Tennessee, and maybe that will open up an offensive coordinator. Maybe they do find somebody creative, new, unique, et cetera, that can add a little bit something different to this offense. And I'm for that. I'm not against it. But if he doesn't get it, I fully expect Steno to be back. All right, Jonathan Gannon, let's deep dive this thing. Let's go into it in as much detail as I can give you here after spending a lot of time researching it on Sunday. The first thing I want to talk about is, again, something I talked about on the live show. I heard immediately, and I saw it all over Twitter, why did they not wait a day or two more to interview Jim Leonard? Why just two more days, interview Jim Leonard, and then you can make an educated decision. This is not Green Bay blindfolding themselves from what Jim Leonard can provide them. Matt LaFleur has interviewed Jim Leonard before in great detail when he almost hired him instead of Joe Barry, and probably wanted to hire him instead of Joe Barry, but it was Jim Leonard's decision to stay at Madison at the time, understandably so. But Matt has experience interviewing him. They have done their research on him, and maybe it's a situation where they did some feelers with, you know, Jim Leonard's agent, and maybe Jim Leonard's agent's like, no, we're not going to end up there. You know, maybe they have something else already in plan. Maybe they didn't want to go to Green Bay. I don't know. Or maybe Green Bay just was like, yeah, we know that we want to go with Jonathan Gannon. We've interviewed, you know, Jim Leonard before. We've now interviewed 2 days of Jonathan Gannon, and Jonathan Gannon's our choice. If you're arguing resumes between Jonathan Gannon and Jim Leonard, I'll say I would rather have had Jim Leonard, but the resume for Gannon is definitely stronger if you're just comparing the two. Just more experience on the high-end level, head coach, defensive coordinator. I know head coach didn't work out. We'll talk about that, but there's a lot of really relevant experience there for Jonathan Gannon. For Jim Leonard, not quite the same, at least from an NFL standpoint. So this was not about Jim Leonard. I've also seen people go aggressively in the other direction of, we wouldn't even hear anything about Jim Leonard if he wasn't from Wisconsin or didn't coach at Wisconsin. Jim Leonard's a very good candidate. He's a very good candidate. I could give a crap that he did anything in Wisconsin. It doesn't affect me in one way, shape, or form or the other. Just absolutely doesn't. And he was one of my favorites on my list. And again, it had nothing to do with anything with Wisconsin, period, end of story. But I do think he gets a defensive coordinator somewhere. I do think he was a real legitimate option, but Green Bay liked Jonathan Gannon better by all accounts. And that's why they went with him. Now, it was noted by Rob Domofsky that the Packers did interview every Packers defensive assistant. So that includes Covington, that includes Ansley. Those guys were interviewed. Green Bay decided to not go in that direction. We will see with Jonathan Gannon coming on, how many of those assistants are back? How many leave? Are there assistants that want out? Does Gannon want his own guys? Those are going to be things that have to be sort of vetted out and figured out over the course of the next couple of weeks as they finalize their coaching roster for 2026. The other big one is that the two brothers, Jim and John Harbaugh, were apparently also very interested in hiring Jonathan Gannon. And it's worth noting here too, that as soon as Jonathan Gannon was hired by Green Bay, John Harbaugh hired Denard Wilson, who he worked with in Baltimore, as his defensive coordinator. Maybe he was holding out hope that Gannon was going to come, and as soon as he got word that Gannon did not go there, he hired Wilson. Maybe he was going to hire Wilson all the way along, but it was noted that, again, both John and Jim Harbaugh had a lot of interest in Jonathan Gannon. So Green Bay wanted to get this done, make the decision, go with Jonathan Gannon, but I'll say it one more time. I think from my belief here is that they hired Jonathan Gannon because they wanted Jonathan Gannon, not because they felt rushed, not because they, well, you know, some other team might want him, not because, you know, they couldn't wait for Jim Leonard. I think they wanted Jonathan Gannon. And as soon as they recognized that, they made sure that they got the job done, got him hired, and weren't going to have to worry about him going somewhere else and potentially taking a job somewhere else. We'll be right back. Hey friends, the big game is almost here, and there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. And since the big game is right around the corner, it also means that it's your last chance to get into the football action before next season. So close the season out with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, we've been talking about Prize Picks all season long, and what I've really enjoyed are the stories from fans who've played Daily Fantasy for the first time, who've won a big pick, and who've told me how much they enjoy playing Prize Picks. Now, I've heard some awesome winning stories all season long, and you still have time to get in this football season to get some big wins with Prize Picks. Now, with Prize Picks, you don't need to wait until next year's fantasy draft to keep playing fantasy. Prize Picks lets you play fantasy football every week, even in the playoffs. Pick your favorite players and win when they hit their projections every week. No draft required. So join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports app, Prize Picks. And right now, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code Packaday to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys interviewing Jonathan Gannon, and remember, they hired Christian Parker. This was a great piece by Justice Mosqueda, of course, Acme Packing Company, where he talked about Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram was talking about how Dallas came to the conclusion to hire Christian Parker over Jonathan Gannon. This is the brief from both of those things. From the ultimately, it comes from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, but you can find the excerpt in Acme Packing Company's article with Justice Mosqueda as well. Jonathan Gannon on Tuesday was told, hey, this guy is very smart. He understands defenses. He gets it, but can he connect with the players? And I don't think they've got that question answered in their interview process. That was the big thing for Jonathan Gannon. He was a top two contender from this search from the very jump. Jonathan Gannon has a lot of supporters in Dallas, whether it be Brian Schottenheimer, Clayton Adams, or anyone else who has worked with him over the course of his career. Bringing him in, it was with the understanding that he was going to have a pretty damn good shot at landing the job, and certainly was ahead of a name like Christian Parker or Durante Jones, but I don't think he got that question answered to them. If he could connect with them on a personal basis, A, and then B, being able to communicate to these guys what he wants out of them, those were the concerns. I think looking back on the Matt Eberflus decision and what went wrong with Matt Eberflus over the last season, that is what they had. That is the thing that they had pointed to most, is that yes, they believed in him. They believed in what he was trying to preach, but he cannot get that communicated to the players. As it started to get further down with Jonathan Gannon, I think they realized that it would be very similar to hiring Matt Eberflus again from that perspective. And then the Packers ultimately hired Gannon because they thought he was a fit for the job. All right. So that was the interest in Dallas. And remember, as Justice Mosqueda points out as well, Dallas is very loose-lipped with this stuff. Hello, Jerry Jones. They tell everyone everything. So they're concerned with Jonathan Gannon. They liked him all along. They had him as a top two candidate through the entire process, vetted him out entirely, liked what he was selling, liked what he was preaching, but didn't know that he'd be able to communicate that effectively to the players. And I think did have a little bit of Matt Eberflus PTSD, where, as we'll talk about in a second, you know, Gannon does come from the Matt Eberflus tree as well. At least he's worked under Matt Eberflus in the past as well. And I think that probably hurt him also. So they ultimately go with Christian Parker. It allows Green Bay to get, in this case, Jonathan Gannon. And now we're just going to have to see how those two do through the remainder of their careers to see which team actually got that hire right. Dallas had the jump on Green Bay because they had a couple weeks early on Green Bay when they made their initial coaching decision to you know, kind of go in a different direction and fire Matt Eberflus. But they kind of both interviewed both candidates, might have been the bottom or the top two for both of them. And Dallas goes with Parker. Again, had a little bit of a leg up on Green Bay there to get that done earlier. And Green Bay ends up with Jonathan Gannon. What I do want to emphasize here is the importance of this hire for Matt LaFleur. I do not think that there has been nor will be a more important hire for Matt LaFleur. This is everything. Regardless of what the contract is, I think Matt's got a two-year window to really show the powers that be that he can win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. I'm not saying he has to win it, but he has to prove to them he can do it, meaning he gets close or like everything, you know, trajectory-wise is continuing to point up. And he can't do that with a bad defense. He had better be sure that Jonathan Gannon can coordinate at minimum a top 10 defense if Matt LaFleur wants to get this team where it needs to go for him to probably ultimately keep his job in Green Bay. And for that reason, this hire could not be bigger. And meanwhile, for Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers and this team as a whole, you're thinking that this is a Super Bowl contender, and it's really difficult to do that if you don't have a good defensive coordinator. It feels impossible. So Jonathan Gannon's going to have to come in. He doesn't have to set the world on fire and be the best defense in the league. And oh my God, what is he doing? I would love that if he did, but he needs to finish in the top 10 and have this team playing some of its best defense by the end of the year. And hopefully they're healthy and Micah Parsons looks like himself and everything like that. So to me, this is a huge hire for Matt LaFleur. Hopefully he got it right. And the importance of this cannot be overstated. It is the single biggest and most important hire of Matt LaFleur's career so far. All right, who is Jonathan Gannon? Jonathan Gannon just turned 43 years old. He's been coaching or in football since 2003, which is really impressive. He was a student assistant at Louisville from 2003 to 2005, then a grad assistant at Louisville in 2006, defensive quality control coach for the Falcons in 2007, then spent some time with the Rams as a college scout, defensive quality control coach for the Titans from 2012 to 2013, assistant defensive backs coach for the Vikings from 2014 to 2017, defensive backs coach for the Colts from 2018 to 2020, defensive coordinator for the Eagles from 2021 to 2022, and then head coach of the Cardinals from 2023 to 2025. Some of his main influences and some coordinators that he has coached under or coaches that he has coached under include Mike Zimmer, Matt Eberflus, Vic Fangio, and Jerry Gray. So pulling from those key influences to make him kind of the defensive coordinator that he is today. So why, oh why, did Green Bay hire Jonathan Gannon? That's the big question. Well, the first thing, and we've known this from how Matt likes to hire his coaches, specifically defense and special teams, but Rob Domofsky reported it as well in his article. Matt, I'm sure, and we know now, basically from the report from Rob, loved the idea that this was a former head coach. And what this allows is just like, again, it hasn't worked great, but Rich Bisaccia has basically been the president and CEO of the special teams. Jonathan Gannon, with that head coaching experience, is going to be able to be the president and CEO of all things defense. He's probably going to give some directives to Jonathan Gannon, but then let him cook and let him own defense in its entirety. That's his hope. And I think the fact that Jonathan Gannon has that head coaching experience and can be the CEO of the defense was extremely appealing to Matt LaFleur and really gave him the feel that he could hand it off to him and say, here, this is yours. And it's probably really appealing to Jonathan Gannon too, because he's going to be trusted with that. It's not going to be something where Gannon is micromanaged or doesn't have say over it. He's basically now still a head coach, just of a smaller portion, in this case, Green Bay's defense. The next thing is he had some really impressive success in Philly. Now in 2021, they were 10th in defense, 18th in scoring. But in 2022, they were second in total defense, 8th in scoring, 1st in passing defense, 1st in sacks, 4th in takeaways. They ultimately made it to the Super Bowl, and they were 3rd in DVOA for the year, defensive DVOA. So a lot of really impressive metrics on defense in 2022. Now, Vic Fangio was a consultant for them in 2022, which should be noted. So there could be some piece of that that was very helpful. But even still, it definitely does go on Jonathan Gannon's record, and he did a great job to get them to a Super Bowl and had some really impressive metrics that year. And then what I think is really important here is, remember, 2021, he came in, they were good. 2022, they were much better. But what happened in 2023 when he left? They fell off a cliff. That Eagles defense was nowhere near the same, which is a good sign for Green Bay. It was a good sign of how important he was in those couple of years in Philly, and that once he left, things were not the same. It's a good sign for Green Bay. Now, if you're curious, that 2022 Eagles defense was pretty good. Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, all in the defensive line. Kazir White, TJ Edwards, N'Kobe Dean at linebacker, James Bradbury, Darius Slay, and Avante Maddox at corner, and CJ Gardner-Johnson, Marcus Epps, and Reed Blankenship at safety. They definitely had some players. They definitely had some guys who could get to the quarterback, no question. But those players in particular did not do as well the year before and the year after. A lot of those guys had career years with Jonathan Gannon, which is, again, a really good thing to see for Green Bay. Next up of, again, why Green Bay would be interested here, he's got experience calling plays and putting together a staff and putting together a playbook and all of it, right? That's so important. Again, this is a team that's ready to compete for a Super Bowl right now. Not saying they're going to or win or whatever, but that's the expectation. It's that they're going to compete for a Super Bowl. So bringing in a defensive coordinator that doesn't have that experience, that hasn't put together a staff, that hasn't called plays, that whatever it might be, like, you just gain a ton from Jonathan Gannon with that ability, and that can't be overstated. So I do think that that was a real key for Matt LaFleur, is to get somebody in who had that experience and can immediately take on the defense and you can feel comfortable with them doing that. Again, somebody who's brought a team to the Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator in the past. I also think there's a lot of similarities between Halfley and Gannon. Now, we don't know yet. Gannon's run a lot of 3-4. All right. Base defense doesn't matter. You don't make decisions off of that. But I am going to be curious if he runs more of that 3-4 or if he sticks with the 4-3 in Green Bay. I don't think he needs to change things up, to be honest. He could if he wanted to. They certainly have the pieces and personnel to be flexible here. But one of the things that we'll talk about is he is also, meaning Jonathan Gannon, is also very flexible. And it wouldn't stun me if they just stuck with kind of the foundation that Jeff Halfley's already put in place. Meanwhile, cover 0, cover 1, cover 2, all very similar. Neither Jeff Halfley nor Jonathan Gannon blitz a ton, although Gannon will blitz a little bit more on early downs, whereas, you know, Halfley didn't do a ton of early down blitzing. So something to note there. The big difference here is that, you know, Jeff Halfley really liked a lot of cover 3 or more cover 3 in a lot of situations. And Jonathan Gannon is a huge cover 4 guy. At least he has been. Doesn't mean he's going to be. Again, sometimes things change, but he's been a huge cover 4 guy. So I'd expect a lot of cover 4 defense or a lot more cover 4 defense in 2026. He's got defensive backs coach background, similar to Jeff Halfley. His, again, ability to adapt on defense. He gave almost a strikingly similar answer to Jeff Halfley in the past of how, hey, I don't want to have a specific playbook. I want to be able to build my defense around the players that I have. And I want to be able to change my, you know, my personnel and groupings and packages depending on the opponent that we're playing and all of that. And that's a non-starter if you don't do that. You have to be able to be malleable to what your team needs, and you have to be malleable to what type of opponent you're going against. So I, just as much as I loved it from, you know, Jeff Halfley a year ago or a couple of years ago, I love it just as much for Jonathan Gannon too, that he has that adaptability to kind of fit a defense around the players that you have to make it hopefully the most successful defense that it can possibly be. The Cardinals defense, one of the big notes that people will say is that, well, the Cardinals defense sucked. Why are you bringing this guy on? Well, you can explain that away by two things. One, he did not call plays and was not the defensive coordinator. He was the head coach and kind of focusing on head coaching responsibilities. But also, the talent in Arizona was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. So you can explain that away too. I'm not holding it against him. We're going to have the caveat, well, like, hey, in 2022, when that defense was good, they had a lot of talent. Well, in his years in, you know, Arizona, they did not have a ton of talent on that defensive line in totality. I will say, and I maybe didn't give this enough credit in my initial breakdown, I do think he's got some piss and vinegar to him. And I think that's a good thing. Sometimes it's gone a little bit too far. We'll talk about that soon. But that was something I was looking for. And the more I kind of researched it, he does have a little bit more in that than I maybe initially gave him credit for. So that's a good thing for him as well. I think another thing that, you know, Matt is really going to like and why they were interested, very few blown coverages by Arizona in 2025. Well, in fact, they only had 10, which is a sign of good defensive communication and sound practicing and making sure that you're getting those things really honed in, because that is not an easy thing to do, especially in cover 4, to constantly communicate those things and to not bust coverages. You can bring that to Green Bay. That'd be really huge for this defense as well. You do have to wonder how much of that is Gannon and how much of that was the defensive coordinator, but still, it all ultimately rolls up to Jonathan Gannon, so we'll give him some credit there. We'll be right back. The fact that Jonathan Gannon plays a more bend but don't break style of defense, it's more nuanced than that, but to make it simple, there's a lot of bend but don't break, and I do think that this is a Matt LaFleur thing. Mike Pettine was far more aggressive prior to Matt. You know, you had Joe Barry was basically very, you know, bend but don't break, no question about it. And then, you know, even Jeff Halfley was expected to be more of a cover one guy. He didn't end up being a lot of that. It was more zone coverage, bend but don't break. And I expect Jonathan Gannon, which is also just in his DNA, that he's going to be very similar. So this is, I think, a Matt LaFleur staple on defense. It's what he wants. And he hired another version of exactly that. So I think that's another reason Matt was probably interested. Many in the league speak incredibly highly of Jonathan Gannon. And if you haven't seen the clip yet from Nick Sirianni talking about how great of a coordinator he is and that he doesn't get the respect he deserves, that's a clip worth checking out. Tyler Herrick posted it on his Twitter profile. I think I retweeted it as well. But that's noteworthy and eye-opening. And again, give a lot of credit to ultimately what Jonathan Gannon was able to do in Philly. And by all accounts, he's a very good X's and O's coach, putting together the scheme, the game plan, the assignments, everything. Even with it being more of a week-to-week scenario, I think that they are going to really enjoy the fact that, you know, he can draw up those plays, draw up the scheme, and have things, you know, just maybe a step ahead of maybe the opposing offensive coordinator. He's got his hands full with Ben Johnson and Kevin O'Connell and, you know, Dan Campbell, et cetera. But let's see if Jonathan Gannon's up to the task and can maybe get the better of some of those very talented offensive minds. On the flip side, why are there reasons to be apprehensive about this signing? Well, the first thing is, yeah, he wasn't the play caller and he wasn't the defensive coordinator, but his Cardinals defenses were bad. In fact, this past year, they were sixth worst in EPA per play and had the most missed tackles in the NFL. That's not great. That needs to be better. I will also say the overall failures in Arizona don't exactly paint the most loving and clear light of him. And he's got to kind of wash some of that stink off and kind of regather himself as a defensive coordinator and let coach, you know, the actual head coach version of him just kind of pass into the distance. And now we're back being defensive coordinator and hopefully back to being the best version of himself. The next is the communication. And let's just be real, a little bit of the awkwardness. There's just something quirky about him. To be clear, that does not mean bad. That doesn't mean he's going to fail. But when you're coming from somebody like Jeff Hafley, who is very charismatic, and you're just kind of like on every word, what is he going to say next? Jonathan Gannon doesn't feel like he quite has it. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see. And ultimately, it doesn't matter, but it just gives off a different sort of vibe. And I am sort of curious to see if he can kind of overcome that and communicate effectively as a coach. A lot of the Eagles players said a ton of really positive things about him on the way out, and that's worth noting. And there was really good communication, especially on the defensive backfield in Arizona, just like we talked about, with lack of blown coverages. So maybe it's much to do about nothing. I hope it is. But there is just something that just feels a little bit quirky and awkward about Jonathan Gannon, which, again, you're kind of looking for charismatic or tough or whatever. Again, he has some of that toughness and piss and vinegar, but it's just a little bit awkward. He hit a player on the sidelines. That's not great. That's one of those things where, like, if it happens again, we've got major problems. So I don't think it's going to happen again. I'm sure he's learned from it, but worth noting. He also played a ton. So we talked about in 2022 how his defense was great, right? He played a ton of really crappy quarterbacks that year. In fact, he played four pretty good ones. Jared Goff, who put up 35 points against him. Rodgers and Love, in that game that Love came in, put up 33 points against him. Dak Prescott put up 40. Patrick Mahomes put up 38 in the Super Bowl. In the meantime, the other quarterbacks that they played that year were Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Cooper Rush, Kenny Pickett, Davis Mills, Taylor Heineke, Colts version of Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, Gardner Minshew, Davis Webb, Daniel Jones, and Josh Johnson. That was the quarterbacks that they played. It is not exactly a murderer's row, and that could have easily elevated the level of defense into that top five category. And if that's the case, if they kind of got, you know, looking at everything, I'm sure they did their due diligence, right? But, you know, you kind of look at it and be like, oh, they had a top five defense. Well, if you look at it and the quarterbacks they were playing, you really should have had a top five defense. Let's just be real about it. And so, yeah, it's great that he had it. It's a proof of concept, but they played some very bad quarterbacks throughout the course of that year. And when they did play good quarterbacks, they allowed 35 points, 33 points, 40 points, and 38 points. So they weren't very good when they actually faced good quarterbacks. Also, the failure in the Super Bowl, they, you know, I think allowed like, what, 17 consecutive points, maybe it was even a little bit more than that, to lose the game in that situation, which can't happen. And they have had some struggles in Arizona in the fourth quarter as well. Again, I don't know how much it's going to affect him as a defensive coordinator, but I'm passing it along, letting you know the information one way or the other. All right, reasons to like it. My ultimate reasons for me that I like it: head coach, I like the experience that he has there. He's proven that he can generate a top five defense in the NFL. He has a ton of respect around the league and league circles, and the experience is there. They had to find somebody with experience to come in and hopefully lead this team right away. Hopefully they hit this right at the end of the day, you know, going with Jonathan Gannon. And then reasons I don't like it. Again, some of that communication and awkwardness. Felt like 2022 might have been a little bit fake. Tough to say, but it might have been. and was just hoping for something a little bit more aggressive and something a little bit more attacking. It's not that Jonathan Gannon is this terrible candidate, which I said. Does it feel a little bit underwhelming? Yes. But at the end of the day, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see if he can come in and coordinate this defense to the best of his ability and really take what he did in Philly already, learn from some of the stuff from Philly, learn from maybe some of the mistakes in Arizona, and really put together his best effort yet as defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Listen, this type of coordinator, bend but don't break, and that style of defense is very clearly, again, what Matt wants in his coordinators. We'll see if it can work out. We'll see if this can be the best version of it. I think that possibility exists. And I know some people aren't going to like this hire. Again, I'm underwhelmed by it. He would not have been in my top five guys. All right, just period, end of story. But we thought Rich Bisaccia was going to come in and save the special teams with his experience. He didn't. We thought that, you know, Mike Pettin, Stone Cold Mike Pettin, was going to be the savior at defensive coordinator. He wasn't. Let's see what he can do. Let's give him a little bit of time. Let's stay positive as much as we can. Let's get the vibes trending back in the right direction. I know some people are underwhelmed by it in totality. I get it. I understand it. I really do. But I do think that there is an upside here. I really, really do. I don't think this is just over. I don't think it's all, well, they completely screwed it up. I do think he has the ability to put together a top 10 defense in Green Bay. Now, it's up to him if he can do it. And again, I'll say this one more time. This was the most important hire of Matt LaFleur's career. If Matt LaFleur did not get this one right, I don't think he's going to ever be able to hire a coordinator again. This might be his last one if he doesn't get this right. So just worth noting. Let's hope he did get it right. Would it have been my pick? No. Do I have a level of intrigue? Absolutely. And am I going to cheer Jonathan Gannon on? Absolutely. See what he can do. Let's see if he can be a very special defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Green Bay could use it. See if they can get the most out of guys like Adrian Cooper, Xavier McKinney, Micah Parsons, etc., and put together what can hopefully be a Super Bowl defense. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate you guys as always. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Poletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle, Stinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, and Zillage Zillardson. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time. Actually, see you guys today. Members only Q&A, 3 p.m. So I'll see you guys there. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.